So, does an each-way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
We have waited years to get a fixed permanent position at Royal Ascot, and when we do, it tiddles down. But fortunately, I have some lovely assistants holding brollies, protecting my decades-old silk top hat. I am Lee Mottstead, and I'm joined by Racing Post colleagues Tom Siegel, Dave Orton, and from Paddy Power, Mr. Paul Binfield. As we look ahead to day two of the Royal meeting, which begins with a cavalry charge of epic proportions in the Queen Mary Stakes. 28 runners, Binners. Your odds compilers must have been pulling the hair out.
Yeah, they had a difficult job with this one, Lee. We're five places each way. At the top of the market, we can't separate Final Song and Kamari, 9-2 joint favourites. Then it's 7 Good Vibes and Ickworth, 8 Anna's Fast, and it's 12-1 Bar.
Okay, Tom, this is not an easy way to start the day.
Very difficultly, no, yeah. We'll know later after, won't we? Today will give us a big clue to where the draw is. The only thing I'd say is the two American horses who are going to be the pace, they always are the pace, are drawn very high. So I'd want to be around them. I don't know if it's the best side, the worst side, I don't know. We don't know that yet. The only thing is I'd want to be around them, I think. And there's plenty you could fancy. The Dolphin have got two or three in there, haven't they? Final Song, I think, is probably the one they fancy most. But the Dubawi horse that James Doyle ride was really good over six. He's dropping back to five. He'll go well. I personally like Archie Watson's horse, Lambeth Walk. Figures are no good. It's only won a couple of small races, but Archie has the best set of two-year-old fillies around. He's had horses placed in the one at York, the Merry Gate at York. He's had horses placed in lots of them. None of them run. Lambeth Walk runs in here. I think around 12-1, she's a good each way bet.
From which musical?
Don't ask me that. That's your game.
Me and my girls. Very good. Dave, are you up for Lambeth Walk?
No, I'm not. But like Tom, I'm wondering where the pace is going to come from. There is a horse called Ickworth, isn't there, who is a pocket rocket, another Godolphin horse, Willie McCreary. I like her chances. She's been laid out for this, the race after May the 6th she won on her second start. She looks very good. The second has run well in a patent company since. She is a pace angle on the far side, and it makes me think that Ryan Moore's going to fancy his chances on Tango, who only won her maiden a week or so ago, but so did Gossamer Wings, exactly at the same race, just chinned in this race last year. I think the pace will be all over the place. As you know, our viewers can see now, and our listeners, if you're listening, it's raining on these umbrellas. Tomorrow's expected to be worse. We should have a good idea, you know, of the playing field by then. I'm betting it's going to be high.
Okay, the guy's liking high draws, but have you got a view on the race?
Not really on the draw, Lee. I'll find out what happens, but I'm going to go for multiply by 8 at a huge price each way.
Yeah.
Well, 80-1, Tom. Huge eye catcher at Sandown last time. Last a couple of furlongs out, finished third, nearly snatched second, and I think maybe an each way shout.
Are you impressed by his boldness?
No.
No. Okay. And don't forget, if you watch the Binners, viewers, yes. If you have views, we are very much interactive in this postcard. So drop us a line on YouTube and tell us what you think. And Binners, what do your odds compilers think about the Queen's Vase 305?
Well, we make Western Australia 100-30 favourite, Lee, 4-1 Norway, 5 Gel Mood, 11 Naif Road, and it's 12-1 the rest.
Dave Orton.
This is a Ballydoyle tear-up, I think, between the two. I think Ryan Moore has picked right with Norway, despite the fact that the market suggests he is second favourite in the anti-post. I think this will go off market leader. I've always had him down as a stayer. When he ran at Chester, people were disappointed with him. So Dragonet, if you remember that run in the Vars. Soft ground. At least it shows he handles it. He stayed on after taking a good blow. The Zetland winner last year was Kew Gardens, the same race that this chap won, who went on to win the Queen's Vase. Also ran a very similar race to him in the Derby. They're almost identical horses. It's Norway for me.
Okay, just to the point of order, David Jennings wrote a piece with Aidan earlier in the year where he was saying that Ryan doesn't actually pick any of these. Aidan hands out the rides. So Jing, in this case, Tom, he's handed Ryan the wrong one, as Dave does.
No, I think he's probably on the right one. I agree with Dave on this one. Western Australia has been a funny horse, hasn't it? He started the season well, but then the second run at Newmarket was awful. It was very well fancied, wasn't it, for the mile and one race there, and showed nothing at all. He came back last time, but it was only a Mickey Mouse race he won, and he wasn't that impressive getting past a horse of Gerland's that runs in this Pythian, something like that. But he only just got past him. I'm with Dave on Norway. I think he's a different class, really. And the thing you've got to say is that Hayden O'Brien won all the trials bar one. He won the Derby and he had five of the first six. He's got, no one else has got any good staying horses. He's going to win it. It's just with which one. I personally prefer Norway.
Do we back Japan now for King of the Seven Stakes? Well,
Japan will be odds on in the King of the Seven Stakes.
Really?
Yeah.
A bold statement there from Tom Segal. 2 days, 3 days in fact, ahead of the King Edward the Seventh. Binners, the Queen's Vase. We got two votes for Norway. Do we have three?
No, I'm going to go against Aidan O'Brien, actually. I'm going to go with Gel Mood for Charlie Appleby. I think this horse is improving rapidly at a rate of knots. One last time in the dying strides over a mile and a half, and I think he'll really be suited by the step-up in trip to a mile and six.
OK, vote then for Gel Mood, two for Norway in the Queen's Vase. The big race on day two is in an unusual position. Normally, the big race at Ascot is at 4:20, but because there's a Japanese running this, Deirdre, and Ascot are very keen that Japanese viewers get to see the race before midnight, we have the Prince of Wales Stakes at 3:40. Fascinating race. Paul Binfield has the prices.
15-8 Magical Lee, Sea of Class 5-2, 7-2 Crystal Ocean, 5 Valgeist, 11. Eleven's a Bill Prince, and any price the rest.
Okay.
Tom, I wouldn't normally pass on my views because they're generally worthless.
No, go for it. We want to hear yours. Come on.
Well, last week I was quite keen on Crystal Ocean because I'm soft on him, but now I'm very sweet on Sea of Class.
Oh, good. You changed your mind. I'm keen on neither of them. Oh, no. Well, I am. I like Crystal Ocean and I love Sea of Class. How can you not like them? I don't like Magical, actually. That's the one I don't like.
Yeah. Why not?
Well, I just don't think her form stacks up. I think at the back end of the Breeders' Cup, I don't trust Breeders' Cup form when it translates. She's run three times this season. She's beat the same horse three times, her pacemaker three times. She's beaten about 10 horses in total. The time, if you look at the time figure, I think her top speed figure in the Group 1 last one was 24. Well, I could run 24 over a mile and a half, over a mile and a quarter. I just don't see it stacking up. Look, she had good form back end here last year, didn't she, in the Champions Day. Soft ground might help her a bit, but I don't think she's as good as the other ones in it. I think Sea of the Cast is the best horse in the race. Worried about her preparation. I know William Haggis would have got her right for this. It's her first run of the season and she will be fit, but she has no match practice. And this is the best 10 furlong race probably anywhere in the world this year. I think it'll be run. Crystal Ocean, I do fancy strongly. I think he'll run well, but I think at the prices, the one I like is Waldgeist. I thought he was really impressive in the Gannet last time. I thought it was the most impressive he's ever been. I think he's just a better horse this year. I think he's coming with the perfect preparation and he's not far behind them. We know that already. He was fourth in the arc. He was only a length behind Sea of Class anyway. I think this 10 furlongs is what he wants. Personally, wouldn't want to see too much rain for him.
Yeah.
I think he's a better good ground horse, but he is by Galileo. He's the same as Galileo out of a German family, so he should go on soft ground, but I think he's better on good ground. But he's my fancy in the race, although if the rain comes, I might sort of switch to Crystal Ocean, I think.
So I do a little bit of name dropping here. I spoke to Andre Farr this morning for the Racing Post previews, asked him about the ground. He said in some ways he's quite relaxed because he's got form on both, but he did say he's not the strongest of horses and he has quite a light action, so he would prefer good ground. He'd prefer the rain to stay away.
Did
so he echoes
to win, Motti?
No, he said it's a Group 1, so I can't be overconfident, but as a 5-year-old he physically should be at his best. That's pretty much word for word what Andre Farb said. If he were here, he'd be saying the same thing. So he really is all over your... Wait, you're all over his run.
Well, I like him. Yeah, I think he's a good horse. And I think at the prices, he's the one for me, simply because he's bigger price than the... I think he's got similar form to all of them, and he's the biggest price of them.
The problem with Valgeist is what Tom's just said. If you remember a couple of years ago, he got beaten by Daniel Kodiak at this track. That was on deep ground.
Yeah.
And I think he's a completely different horse now, but it is a slight worry. And if you look at his profile, you expect him to have been running on the slop in France. It's not been the case. Sea of Class, first time out, Free Eagle did it, you remember, a couple of years ago. It's not impossible. And she will be run up. Again, she's never run on soft ground.
No, William Banks worried about that too.
I know that the arc was easy ground. We can't really know what that ground was, actually, but that carpet on the inside that he called... It's the ocean for me as well. I've come down on him. He should have probably won last year's King George. This looks his race. I think he is solid around about 9-2.
The only one, Motti, that hasn't won a Group 1 bar the pacemaker, isn't he? All these six other runners in the race have won Group 1s. Crystal Ocean hasn't. That's my slight worry about him. He's twice had a shot and he's twice got beaten. I would suggest that this race is a lot better than last year's when he got beat. Oh, no, we got beaten in the King George. Sorry, he got beaten in the King George. We got beaten by...
He won the Hardwick, didn't he?
He won the Hardwick.
Yeah,
last
on
year.
Rattling fast ground, we should say.
Really unimpressive, though, wasn't
they were worried about soft ground from earlier in his career, I remember, but I think he's okay on it now.
I
think over this trip as well, that's the key. That's the key for Magical as well. You know, she's a course winner, don't forget, and while she has beaten the same horse, Tom's right, if Latrobe comes and wins the Wolverton on the first day, which is when we're recording this, her form will start to look slightly better.
Okay. And Bennett, who do you think wins the Prince of Wales? these stakes?
It's time Crystal Ocean won a top class race lead. Keeps getting beaten by Superb Horses, Enable, Cracksman, Poet's Word, A Fag Paper and the King George. Crystal Ocean to gain that elusive top class first success.
Okay, then that is our assessment of the Prince of Wales Essex. Remember, use YouTube to tell us what you think, and as you do that, we will end part one.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to a rainy Royal Ascot. Hopefully the weather will improve and hopefully our betting fortunes will be good through the second half of Wednesday. Joining myself, Lee Mottershead, here to preview the Wednesday action. We've got Tom Siegel, Dave Orton and Paul Binfield. And we move on, Binners, now to the fourth race on day two. The Duke of Cambridge Stakes, the prices please, sir.
Yeah, Paddy's generosity knows no bounds. Four places each way on this, Lee. And we go 4-1 joint favourites, I Can Fly and Raw Dar. 11-2 Voracious, 7 Anne and Area and Pretty Baby, and it's 8-1 bar.
Okay, who wants to start this time? Dave Orton, the Duke of Cambridge.
Yeah, Rawdar Stout has been saying, despite the fact he's got some, you know, some massive shots this week, this is his big hope. She did run a career best at York, didn't she, at the Dante meeting, but was Larty Dar on form that day? I don't think so. And the ground was all against her. She probably is a little bit flattered by that. However, this test should really be ideal. I'm not with her, I should say that. Not totally sure about her on the ground. The one I like is Pretty Baby, the Lingfield winner, who needs to step up again. But that proved herself on this ground. She doesn't really know when she's beaten this horse. This would have been the big target. I Can Fly for Ballydoyle. That £3 penalty historically is difficult to concede. And she's not really a top-notcher for them. I'm a bit surprised she's still in training, really. So Pretty Baby for me for Haggis.
Strong take there from Dave on I Can Fly.
I think she's got a good chance. I think she's got the best form. Her second in the QE2 last season on soft ground. I mean, before people were saying it's soft ground, it might not be soft ground. He's only spitting here, and we don't know actually what the ground is going to be. So, don't be rushing in to suggest they're all definitely going to be soft ground horses. I think she's got the best form. I think she ran well in her warm-up run last time. She's given a set a lot to do by Best Shahir. Interesting, she doesn't run, and the two William Haggis other fillies do with the same ownership. So Dave might be onto something there. I thought this was the hardest race of the week so far that I'd looked at. I thought it was really hard. I thought they were all about the same, and that you could back any of them. You could
there
back
is any often a standout in this.
And there isn't. I thought Agratira you'd have to fancy on last year's Sandringham form.
She's come back in from nowhere, hasn't she?
She's come back in. She was good at Kempton. She beat Preening and Rawdar. So she'd be in there. She's got course form. I'm a little bit disappointed Jamie Spencer isn't on, because I thought he gave her a brilliant ride last year. I also thought Joseph O'Brien's horse, Red Tea, had a bit of a chance at a big price. She won a handicap at the Curragh by 5 lengths. Hard to do that.
Is it Peter Hyatt who's
doing it? Yeah, Peter Hyatt. She won at Newbury last year for Peter Hyatt. It's gone to Joseph O'Brien. And then she was third in the Best Shahir and I Can Fly race last time at the Curragh, but she only got going late on. She got a little bit mucked about with. I think the soft ground might help her. So I thought maybe at a price she would be, but this is a race I really didn't have any strong views on, Lee.
Okay, and the boys very much in agreement that this is a tough call for punters. Binners, make it easy for us.
Okay, I'll try and make it easy. So Michael Stout, Royal Ascot, he thinks it's his best chance of the week. That'll do for me, Rawdar.
You trust Stout?
I always trust Stout, yeah.
With your life, you're very...
I would trust Stout with my life, yeah.
Lovely words there from Binners. As we move on to the Royal Hunt Cup, in which we have a red-hot favourite, new graduate. Paul, how hot with Paddy?
Very hot. 5-1 favourite, Lee. With 7 places each way in this one. Then with 10, Settle for Bay. Bit of money this morning for Raising Sand. That one's 10 as well now from 12. And it's 14 the rest.
Give us your take on it first.
Well, in the Hunt Cup, I'm going to stick with Settle for Bay, Lee. David Marnane and Connections landed a nice touch with him last year. I know he's got £6 more, but I think he might be able to defy that. And when we put the original prices up, we went in at 14-1, and he was very popular very quickly.
Okay. Dave, new graduate, clearly a short price at this stage for a Hunt Cup favourite, but that ripping piece of form, it's hard to imagine a piece of form could have worked out any better.
Queso should have nearly won at a Victoria Cup on his next start. He absolutely slammed him. Yes, he probably is definitely a pattern horse in a handicap. There is two problems for him. Frankie Dettori is going to have to be extremely wily. Like he was on Surprising Counter in 2001, if you can remember back that very far. He also came from a very low stall, but being drawn on the wing in Hunt Cup has got to be the worst draw you could possibly ask for. And the ground, if it does get on the easy side, that might temper enthusiasm as well. So not for me at the prices.
Who is for you at the prices?
Robinham Navan. Navan. Navan? Navan?
Navan.
Navan. I always get that wrong.
Robin of Navan.
I always get this horse wrong as well, I should say. But last time at Newbury, it was one of the most eye-catching performances of the season. Along with Settle for Bay, we should say. Last year's winner may also have perhaps an issue with some easy ground. But I think the pace is down the middle with Zhui Feng.
Yeah.
He's going to go off charging. We know that. There's going to be pace stand side as well. But Robin Navan's right there. Oshie Murphy takes over. Just creep, creep, creep and get some luck this time. Group 1 winner and a handicap, he'll do.
Tom, would you be as negative about new graduates' draw as Dave was?
Looking at it yesterday, yes, I would be a little bit. Yeah, I thought the pace was middle to high. I thought Dave's right about Zui Feng. I thought the two Johnson horses were drawn high. I thought Chief Ironside was drawn high. That we can get that wrong all the time. I hate doing draw stats because as soon as I say one side, the other side goes and wins. So
it's where the pace is, isn't it?
Well, it can be, it can't be. My feeling is that there'll be a... At Ascot, usually there's as fast a pace. That's where they'll all want to go. You know, we've seen Hunt Cups where they've all come this side or they've all gone the fast side.
Lemmings, yeah.
Yeah, and we've seen, Champions Days where they've all gone fast side or all gone this side. You know, today will dictate where they go. Jockeys do that. They will go where they think's the best place. So at the moment, I don't think we know where it is. But having said that, you're asking to back a 4-1 shot. Well, he might be on the wrong side. He might have absolutely no... He might be a 400-1 shot. If stall one's bad. So at this stage, I don't think you can back him. Look, come tomorrow and you've seen the Queen Mary, things can change. But at the moment, I think, you know, he's out. Also, he's got no Ascot form. Secondly, the final thing, I keep spraying you, sorry there. The final thing is that he did go up 15 pounds. Yeah. You know, you might say he's a group horse in the handicap, but he went up over a stone.
Yeah,
for winning at Ripon. And that, you know, that's not easy. This is a 10 times better race than Ripon. Would he have won Ripon with 15 pounds? Yes, he would, but he wouldn't be 4-1 now.
For those people that have backed him, the one thing in your favour is he should be up there. I think that's his run style. Yeah. So Frankie will try and get over wherever he can. So if you've already backed him, obviously don't tear it up. But that 15 pounds is big, isn't it? And the ground and the draw enough to temper.
It's a price. It's a price, isn't it? I mean, if he was 20-1, we'd all be saying, "Oh, this new graduate's great bet, isn't he?" But at 4-1, no, not for me. I like Robin and Avon too. Okay. I think he's got a really good chance. I think he was massively eye catching, not only at Newbury last time. I think the time before here was really good. He was third to Zaki and Barney Roy. Both won group races. Wadil Safa was last. He came second in a listed race afterwards. Circus Couture was seventh. He's won a handicap since. I think it's just red hot form. We know he's a good horse. He won a Group 1 as a 2-year-old. He's won a Group 1 as a 4-year-old. As well. He won a Group 3 as a 4-year-old as well. We know he likes soft ground. I think a hold-up ride over a mile is what he wants. Whether he's going to hit the line really strongly is something that worries me slightly, because I thought at Ascot he sort of flattened out a bit last time. But that's Oshin Murphy's job, isn't it, to get him, to put him, do a Jamie Spencer type ride and put his head in front near the line. I like him. I thought there's a very interesting Godolphin runner in there, Key Victory. He was 4-1 for the French Derby at this stage last year. He was 7-2 favourite for the Hampton Court Stakes here last year. And he's running in a handicap, first time back from Godolphin. He's been gelded since. He's one of those horses that will start 10-1 and win, or he'll start 33-1 and finish last. In that sort of, I mean, I always take a risk on horses like that, so I've had a few quid on him. But I do like Raising Sand as well. Trap 32, he ran very well in the Victoria Cup last time, under the stands rail again. Yeah. You know, and we've seen Hunt Cups won under the rail. And I wouldn't, I think he's got a good chance. He's an 8-year-old, but, you know, that doesn't bother me anymore. And so few horses can get in these races. There's such a little spread between top and bottom in the weights that how old you are really doesn't bother me. So I'd give him a shot too.
I did a piece for the Post on Monday. I think in 25 years ago, I was doing a piece harking back to 1994. I think the bottom weight for the Hunt Cup was 77 or 79. Oh. This year, 99. It's amazing how these races have changed.
Well, it's also, my opinion about it, and I don't want to get too technical for the people at home, but there's fewer and fewer really good horses. And so the slightly low horses are getting shifted up in the handicap when they're not quite that good, because they have to close, the handicaps have to close them up because there's to get closer to the good horses, otherwise you can't have a handicap. And so there's hundreds of horses rated 90 to 100, hundreds of 200 horses rated 90 to 100, where there used to be 50. And that was why why you got the difference in weight disparity. There just literally weren't those horses around, but now there's loads of them in that range, not very many at the bottom and none at the top, and so you've got them all squeezed in, and so we only have a very, you have a very small weight range for all these handicaps at Cheltenham and Ascot.
Yeah, Tom's right. I mean, you know, to round that home, you can run on the all weather, can't you? Rated 105 all winter long, so you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's gone way up.
And that was today's discussion point. We'll try and have one every day in the postcast. We end at 5:35 with the Windsor Castle Stakes, another big field, two-year-old Dash Binners.
Well, I did a magnificent job in that last race with Tom and Dave, both thinking Robin and Evan's got a great chance. Mm. I forgot to read him out in the betting. He's 12-1. I missed
12
him out.
12-1.
So okay. I did a magnificent job there.
No, don't do yourself down. Keep the brolly over my head.
The Windsor Castle Stakes, four places each way. We go 11-2, Foolish Humour, 6, Temple Heaven, 10, Ifrost, Summer Sands, Symbolise and Carra, and it's 11-1 bar.
Ooh, it's hard, isn't it, Tom? Archie Watson won the race last year, four challenges this year.
Yeah, he's got four challenges. A friend of mine, James Knight from Coral, owns one of them. He owns the top one. Can't remember its name now, he's going to kill me.
Oh, won last week?
Yeah, the one that won last week at Carlisle. Yeah, him and Will Forshew own a bit of that. So that's, yeah, he's got a good chance. Archie's very interesting trainer in all these races. Personally, I think there's a maiden in there, trained by Aidan O'Brien, that is the one I want to be with. A horse called Southern Hills. It's by Glen Eagles. And last time, him and a horse of Joseph's, Fire Jet something, that's going for the Norfolk. It's about 10-1
shot. Guitar horse.
Going for that. They finished 15 lengths ahead of the rest. Southern Hills went past that at Joseph O'Brien, looks like he was standing still, and then just sort of got tired up the Navan Hill. and I think five furlongs for the hold-up ride is going to suit him. So I personally think he's got the best form already, even though he hasn't won a race. You know, because this, you know, I think he's got the best form on offer, and I think he's got the best speed figure on offer. He's going to have the American horse drawn near him again. I think that might be the key. He's going to be able to get in the slipstream there, and I fancy him to run well for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore.
All right, Southern Hills for Tom, Dave.
I came down on Summer Sands for Fahey, who's also won this race in the past. I liked his Beverly run. I liked his debut effort as well, actually, behind a stable mate whose name escapes me for the Cool Silk partnership as well, but you can look that up if you're listening and watching on this. I just click at him. That was at Leicester. It was in a decent race, and I just think that Beverly's a cracking test for this lot of, you know, of juveniles. Very similar. They're going to go hard, and you'll be climbing. And the ground was similar as well. I think he's been trained for this as well. And Dylan De Vega, also a Beverly winner. The form's taken a few knots, but he'll love the ground if it keeps raining. 2 for 5 for me.
Okay, and Binners.
I'm going to go for Temple of Heaven of Richard Hannon's lead. Unbeaten in two races. Won a nice race at Newbury last time. Looked like the right horses were behind him. But we'll know more after the Tuesday at Royal Ascot in the Coventry Stakes, with Fort Myers and Well of Wisdom both taking part. If they run well, that will increase my confidence in Temple of Heaven.
And of course, depending on when you're watching this, you might well already know who won the Coventry Stakes. If you do, I hope you back the winner. That then ends our day two preview. But before it ends, it's not quite ended yet, I should have got the guys' best bets on day two. Tom Siegel, best bet on day two.
My best bet on day two, I think Norway's the most likely winner.
Okay.
On day two. I didn't mention him there, but I think if the rain really comes in the Windsor Castle, the horse of Carl Burke's called Rayong, who was pulled out of the woodcut the other days by Mason. He's been waiting for soft ground. I think they're pretty sweet on him to run well, especially if the rains arrive. So he's an each-way price, but Norway would be my best one.
Okay, Norway for Tom. Dave?
I think Norway is the most likely winner. With Tom, I'm a bit boring, though. I think Crystal Ocean's rock solid. Let's go for him.
Okay, Crystal Ocean and Binners.
Crystal Ocean as well, and the Prince of Wellesley.
Crystal Ocean for Binners, and
I'll see. What about you?
Well, I've been converted from being a Crystal Ocean man to a Sea of Class man. So I've backed Sea of Class. I backed New Graduate in the Hunt Cup.
Yeah.
Two favs.
Yes. Yeah. I backed Rorda in the
third
the
Duke
of Cambridge.
Come on, keep going through the cards.
I thought I'd leave the Queen Mary alone. I just thought...
Too hard.
It's quite too hard, isn't
too
it?
Hard.
It's too hard. It's too hard. And I didn't
know
like
what Wes has got yet, do we?
No. Anyway, that was that then. So that is day two sorted. Keep following us and viewing us on YouTube, Audio Boom and Spotify, listening, watching, whatever is your preference. Thanks to the boys, and we're back on for Thursday's preview tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.